Dennis Dunn is the director of Victim Witness Kokua Services in the Honolulu Prosecutor's Office, a position that reminds him every day of the prevalence of domestic violence in our society. Each year in Hawaii, 50,000 women between the ages of 18 and 64 are harmed by domestic violence, a statistic that can only come from a social problem that's buried in deep, one that can only be changed when fundamental attitudes change. The 23rd Annual Men's March Against Violence is scheduled for the day after tomorrow, and Dennis is with us in our studio.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm figuring that you, in your daily work, Dennis, see an awful lot of the human impact of this societal crisis, epidemic, whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a stark a reality that that hits you when you actually have to talk to the real people who are affected by domestic violence.
Yeah.
We can sit around and, you know, you mentioned the numbers. You know, we throw
right.
out general principles.
It's just a statistic.
We don't like domestic violence, but when you actually listen to the people who've been through it,
yeah.
it's really a different experience.
And it keeps happening again and again in a society that has been examining the problem, studying the problem, compiling information about the problem for generations, right?
I think that we've been in a situation where we have maybe even talked it to death.
Yeah.
And what we like to emphasize is that it's action that's important. And I think that the Men's March in particular speaks to the idea that individual men can have an impact, that they in their daily lives can do things which can have an effect on reducing the level of domestic violence and providing a deterrent from other people getting involved.
I refer to the attitudes that lead to it as attitudes that are buried in deep.
Well, they're deeply, sometimes people point to religious beliefs, but the cultural beliefs, and, you know, this is just about every society that we're talking about. People, you know, try to maybe point to this culture, that culture. I haven't seen any cultural connection to this aside from the fact that men are generally responsible and women are usually on the receiving end.
Yeah. And frequently, whatever the culture, there is some variation on the notion of women as chattel, right?
I think that the status of women in society is directly related to the ability for domestic violence to continue. And the efforts of men to try to control women and to maintain their status, male privilege, if you might, that is related to much of why domestic violence occurs. It's the desire of men to be able to put women in their place to maintain their status as the leaders in society.
Power is never relinquished all that readily, right? Just in general.
Generally not.
Nobody likes to give up power. Men have a perception in relationships and in marriage to this day in our society that they're kind of the ones in power, right?
Well, and I think that men, even those of goodwill and who would say yeah. they're against domestic violence, are uneasy at times when the social order starts to change.
When you start to take it away from them, you might
exactly.
find out they're not as enlightened as they thought they were.
Exactly.
We are not as enlightened
exactly.
as we thought we were.
And it's not to say that everyone has to be perfect, but I think it's important to have an awareness. For example, the language that you use.
Yeah.
So much, even among young people, and certainly in some of our music and movies and so on, you know, using pejorative terms such as bitch and
yeah.
and slut and all these other kind of terms that we use to describe women that are so often related to the sexual side of women. In other words, the definition of women as sexual objects, and uses a term to deride them. And unfortunately, much of society takes part in this, and it's not even sometimes just men. Sometimes women will even be using the same terms, not thinking of how that feels when you're on the receiving end of that. When a man is using that, he's usually trying to put a woman in her place.
I think you can tell an awful lot from looking at popular culture, and I think that the hip-hop culture in particular has quite a bit to answer for in this regard, you know, glamorizing and, in fact, even treating as slightly humorous.
I think that's true, although it's kind of interesting.
Not confined to that area of our culture by any means.
Absolutely. In fact, the music is an important, something important to point to. I have an iPod that I play in my car when I'm driving all the time, and I have music from many different eras, but it's just amazing. I look at this ongoing theme, and you listen to the Beatles and Rolling Stones of the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
You listen, I can't remember the name of the group, The Police or something, rather, every move you take, I'm watching you.
You know, that's a very
spooky
song.
The Stalker's Anthem, I call it.
Exactly,
But really, we haven't, I mean, people like to talk about hip-hop, and I think there are concerns, especially about some of the extremes, but you go back on this, the themes of controlling women and about, you know,
Dennis, I've been a blues musician for 40 years, and I can't tell you how many songs that I have to eliminate from the repertoire because the thing they're saying is, you know, sometimes with humor, that, you know, if you don't act right, I'm going to, you know, bust your head, are worse.
Exactly. I mean, we have a number of Beatles songs that I've listened to that have that theme. Certainly some of the Rolling Stones songs are very
clear. And probably
clear
in complete innocence, or at least perceived.
Well,
as
I think that's true, although not innocent in the sense that that wasn't really the intent to put women in their place.
Yeah.
Not thinking about the shape of the cultural overtones. And I'll be honest with you that sometimes I'm still listening and enjoying this song, and suddenly I'm listening to the words, and I'm going, why am I getting such enjoyment about this song?
Under My Thumb by the Rolling Stones.
That's one of the ones that I was thinking
about. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what we're getting at here. This is something that is, you know, almost in our DNA, and it hasn't gone away in spite of a great many efforts to control it. So what's going on here?
Well, for one thing, I sort of reject the idea that it's part of DNA.
I hope so.
I don't think that we have to act like this. There are societies that do operate where women have a higher place, and that oftentimes the matriarchal societies don't have this same kind of problem.
Yeah.
So it does have to do with the role and status of women in individual society.
Mm-hmm.
We've come a long way in changing that, I think, in our discussion before we started here. I mentioned that when I was first getting involved in legislation in Hawaii in the late 70s, that one of the bills that I saw was a bill that would allow women, married women, to sign their own contracts. So this is like practically 1980, and women still didn't have the right to sign a contract on their own if they were married. Basically, once you're married, the husband was in control. We had the sexual assault laws up until the early 80s. Under the law, you could not legally rape your wife.
That married women were what do you call it, exempt from making criminal complaints against the husband, no matter what he...
Exactly. And when the bill that was passed by the legislature went to Governor Ariyoshi to sign, there was a huge outcry from men talking about he couldn't possibly sign. This was going to destroy marriage in Hawaii if you could charge your husband with rape. This was going to lead to all sorts of women making outrageous claims against their husbands. Fortunately, the bill did not get vetoed, and it became part of law. But even today, I can just tell you, we don't have that many cases that involve women charging the husband with sexual assault. But I have listened to some of them, and we used to help people with restraining orders. I've heard the tales about all the sexual abuse that's involved. But most of the women don't want to talk about it, don't want to report about it, because the difficulties of being able to talk about sexual abuse, even within a marriage.
The after effects of sexual violence last a very long time, right?
I think that research has shown that some of the most long-lasting trauma that victims of domestic violence experience, and the PTSD, often is related to the sexual abuse within the relationship. That certainly has one of the strongest long-term effects, and requires more serious and more depth, a more intense therapy for someone to really overcome the aspects of that experience.
We're a ways from where we need to be as a society, aren't we?
Well, I think that's the other important thing about the Minge March. And as you noted, this is the 23rd time we're doing this. So obviously we're recognizing the fact that, you know, we haven't gotten to where we need to be. There's still more work to do. But I think the exciting thing is that we get so many men involved for such a long time now with being able to make a public statement. The men need to take responsibility for their basic actions towards women. And I think, again, the attitudes and the way in which we treat and talk about women need to change if we want to actually see any change in, you know, domestic violence, sexual assault. That the roots, as you said, are very deep in our culture, and the language has to change, the customs and the way we relate to each other has to change.
Got some work cut out for us, Dennis. Thank you very much.
We do, but as I said, we've got all these men who turn out every year. Please, all the men in the audience, please join us.
No kidding. Thank you very much. Dennis Dunn is the director of the Victim Witness Kokua Services, a division of the Honolulu Prosecutor's Office. The 23rd Annual Men's March Against Violence takes place day after tomorrow, October 12th, and it begins at 11:45 at the State Capitol Rotunda.